This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, this is your host Brian Wayne here, and I'm here to let you know, in case you did not know already, that the Cheers to Comics podcast has since evolved. And if you're looking for a new shiny place to get your comic books from, then you need to head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com. It's like cheerstocomics.com, only with a shop in front of it. Shopcheerstocomics.com, and if you use code PODCAST at checkout, you're going to save yourself 10%. And I'm constantly adding new inventory, hot spec books, everything, any type of book under the sun. As it comes under my radar and it gets added into the inventory, I make it available to you. So remember, head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com and use code PODCAST at checkout and save yourself 10%. Oh, it's pre-roll time. You know the Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly brought to you by Inked Marketing Solutions, your source, your solution. That's why they're called Inked Marketing Solutions. Your solutions to all things crowdfunding, even beyond comics. But, you know, I'm going to focus on the comics on account of what I am and all. I got to tell you about the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this here episode. It's going to be the Terror Trilogy funding on Kickstarter right now. It's a horror graphic novel. It's three incredibly creepy sounding stories all in one beautifully bound book. So we've got The Muffin Man number one, Solo 88 number one, and Thirst number one. And you know, there's even a brand new story as well that the boys from Limitless Comics is putting out, and that's a Wild Oni. Or you could, you know, you can grab everything, grab all of that stuff all on this Kickstarter. But The Muffin Man and the Solo 88 and Thirst, all in one beautifully bound graphic novel of terror, the Terror Trilogy. So, yeah, head on over to Kickstarter now and support the boys of Limitless Comics. It might not just be all boys, but I'm looking at the picture here. Those are all boys there. yeah, man, head on over. Check it out, Kickstarter. And that's going to be inked.pub/Terror Trilogy. Once again, that's inked.pub/Terror Trilogy. You're gonna want some of this, people. Limitless bringing it real hard.
Age of Radio.
Back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host Brian Wayne, and this is episode 366. The 366th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a Fan Expo Denver 2021 wrap up. Oh yeah, people! I'll be going over all the amazing stuff that I witnessed and experienced and covered this week as official press and media for Fan Expo Denver, the first of its kind, well, in this city with that name. it was a fun weekend. All right, that was it. Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you the next time there are things about comics to talk about. I'm only slightly joking. I'm having a hard time even figuring out where to begin, people. I really was. It was a great time. I showed up Friday. Let's start with that. Let's start with the first day. So I was told, as a media man, to be there at 3:00 to pick up my credentials, as the doors will be opening at 4:00. And I was like, all right, sweet. Sounds neat. I'll be there. And then, I show up at about, it's like 3:10. I'm like, I'm going around the little corner of the Colorado Convention Center. I'm like, oh, there's nobody here. That's a problem. There's nobody in line waiting. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. And considering the slowing momentum the Denver's had in, the past con years, I was a little worried. But then I turned the corner, and I got my credentials. Super, super quick and easy, and yeah, way better than it was for Pop Culture Con. That's for damn sure. That was a fucking nightmare getting my credentials through there. Back when it was, yeah. But Fan Expo, boom, go up. Brian Wayne, bam, cheers to comics, here's your badge, bam. And then I start seeing all these people. I'm like, well, what's up? What's going on? And then I turn the corner, and I go up the little escalators and all that stuff, and... Well, no, I take that back. Before I go to the escalators, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to get some exclusive, Fan Expo merch, right? And being that I'm the opportunist that I am, I thought I got a good feeling about this particular book right here. There was some amazing, and some of the stuff I didn't get to talk about in the preview episode, because it wasn't announced yet. It was, like, you may have heard me speak on it before, but it was literally 4 minutes after I posted the preview episode. I get an email from Fan Expo saying this is the exclusive con merch, and let's talk about that a little bit. I'm not gonna go over all of the stuff they had available. I was very grateful. There were a lot of exclusive covers, comic book covers specifically, that warmed my heart. Like, that's really what I want to see. I want to see comic books at my comic book convention. You know, I don't want my comic book convention to be taken over by Funko, or, you know, yeah, I don't know. Now, with that being said, I also kind of had it in my head, like, is it really, what's a good word for this? A worthy expo if there's not at least one Funko exclusive, you know? I think they put out four exclusive Funkos for Fan Expo. Now, I didn't have a Fan Expo con, it just said con exclusive, a Fan Expo sticker on the Funko, but I'm not mad at it. It did say con exclusive, and, you know, people, nah. With that being said, it was awesome. It was awesome to be able to go right up to there. They had plenty of stuff for sale. I don't think they ran out of anything all weekend. And that doesn't mean there wasn't a bunch of people. And I'm going to get into that. There was a bunch of people. Oh, yeah. So many people. And let's talk about some of these people. So, yeah, I got my Batman book. I started making my way up the old Colorado Convention Center escalators. And I turned the corner, and there was people. So what had happened was they opened the doors early. I wasn't mad at it. Honestly, I thought, a 4 o'clock start was a little bit late to begin with, even if it was going till 9. So I don't know when they actually opened the doors. I've heard several things. I've heard 2 o'clock. I heard 3 o'clock. I don't know. Fact is, there were people there, and some of the comic book creators and stuff, they didn't get word. They didn't get that we're open in early situations. So initially there were still some unset up tables, but I wasn't mad at it. It didn't take long for people to show up, and as far as, like, you know, the tables to fill out and all. I mean, it was awesome to see. Haven't not been to a con since Pop Culture Con, Denver Pop Culture Con 2019. It was just it was awesome walking that floor again. But I thought it was amazing. I turned the corner. I mean, before, I walk through the opening, I take a deep breath through my mask. Really, really happy about that, because it's rare you could take a deep breath without gagging at a convention. I gotta say, I don't know if it was just we were all wearing masks and no one could smell. I couldn't smell a goddamn thing. It was the first time I did not catch a single whiff of body odor. And like I said, it was nut to butt in there often, quite often. It wasn't for a lack of people. But yeah, I turned the corner and right off, it's merchandise, and it's you just look to the left and it's all your it's like fluffy merchandise, and then it goes all the way up to your hard merchandise. And what I mean by that is, I feel like on the left as you walk in, it was all your pillows, and then just soft stuff. Think soft, you know, stuffies and shirts and, you know, soft stuff. And then you work your way up, and you got your weaponry and your gaming tables. And I mean, seriously, as a nerd, there was nothing that I could think. I was like, oh, fuck, I wish I had this for sale here. It was all there, people. It was all there. But what I found to be super cool. I mean, not super cool. Slightly annoying at the same time. I actually had to go to Mile High Comics right beforehand, and pick up a book for a friend for a signing. And you know, so I was in there. I was at Mile High Comics, I don't know, an hour and a half maybe, before the con. I turn the corner, I get to the con, and I hear, Brian, and, yeah, sure, shit, fucking Mile High Comics right there, set up, primo location, primo. Now, what is, I know a lot of people have a lot of mixed feelings and shit about Mile High Comics, and feel what you will, I'm not gonna tell you how to feel. We've all experienced different things from that place, including myself. Now, what they had set up, they did store exclusives. They put up the little wall of store exclusives and some posters. They always have a plethora of posters to choose from. That store sells a fuck ton of posters, people. And I'm pretty sure they were the only people in the entire place that actually had Squid Game merchandise. And by that I mean posters. I did not see anything else Squid Game anything. So that says something, right? Now, why am I going on specifically about Mile High Comics, other than the fact it's the place I get my comic books from? Now, if anybody knows, you know, some stuff, I guess, if you will, I didn't word that awesomely, about Mile High Comics. Chuck, the owner, he's bowed out from comics, from conventions. You know, he's got a sour taste in his mouth about, you know, just the way they're operated and ran and all this and blah, blah, blah. So the fact that Fan Expo was even get him to come to begin with. Now, I was told it did take quite a bit of convincing, like I said, primo fucking location. But they wanted them to bring, like, their old San Diego booth with them. And if anybody's experienced that, it's like half a fucking row. You know, it's ridiculous. Like I said, it's Mile High Comics, people. If they want to go big, they go the biggest. They can go as bigger than anybody could ever fucking imagine. They can go bigger than everybody else trying to go big combined together. It's just what the fuck it is. But they showed up real modest-like, but constantly had business there. Naturally so. It's Mile High Comics. Doesn't matter if you live in Denver or not. If you opened up a comic book in the 80s or early 90s or whatever, it's embedded into your brain, Mile High Comics. So they showed up, and you know, and I'm not gonna kind of skip ahead a little bit here too. One of the coolest things I saw is, after it was all said and done on day three, Chuck had said that Mile High Comics is not only will they be back next year at a larger capacity, but after speaking with the folks that have taken over the Denver convention scene, they were more so Fan Expo. Mile High Comics will now be an official sponsor of Fan Expo, and not just Fan Expo Denver. We're talking, I mean, all of them, the Dallas and the Toronto and all of that stuff. Where there's a Fan Expo, Mile High Comics, according to Chuck, will be there, and that's big. I say this kind of segues into my bigger point here. There were so many fucking comic books you could buy here. I mean, there was so many people set up of all different stores and stuff. Yes, you had your local stores. But we had stores from all over the country set up. We had Unknown Comics set up. I mean, it was this is at a small capacity, air quote, for Fan Expo. And they came out, people. I tell you what, there was so many goddamn books being dug through. It warmed my heart. And if you weren't following any of my social media stuff, if you're not a member of the Cheers to Comics Facebook group or you don't like the Cheers to Comics Facebook page, you really need to do that, because that's where the majority of my coverage was. I went live multiple times so you could see it for yourself, experience it to some level. If you're not, seriously, pause right now and join the Facebook group and like the Facebook page, because I it's all different content, people. I don't recycle content. It's different everywhere. But I digress. Going back to that, so many fucking comics, people. It was a beautiful thing, and it was all comics. You know, I mean, there was some very fairly priced stuff as well. Not everybody was out there fucking gouging on, or preying, if you will, preying on, you know, the gumps and stuff. It's just fair market value stuff. Sometimes there was some, sometimes there were plenty of deals out there, you know. I'm Fan Expo, if you're listening, cover your ears for a second. I was a little fucking pissed off I had to be pressed at times, because I want to do some goddamn digging. You know, I could have spent all day digging. But you can uncover your ears now. Oh, sorry, they can't hear me. Alright, Fan Expo, you can... It was glorious. But walking through Friday, I mean, the cosplay was on point. You know, it was a little bit slower, you know, on a convention for a Friday. But like I said, it was Friday. It was a chilly, and they killed it. I walked through Artist Valley, and it was amazing to shake the hands of. I did kind of like tuck the press badge for a second, and you know, I you gotta shake the hands of these people. But I also covered them as well. I highlighted them and said, "Look who the fuck is here." And if you didn't catch the preview episode, I will say, but first off, some of the hands I didn't get to shake, I was super excited about that. I think I had said that Greg Capullo was not going to be showing up in the preview episode. I'm not sure about that. But he wasn't there. A couple of really big downers for me that didn't show up were Kyle Higgins and Rebecca Isaacs. Really, really, really wanted to say hello to them. But it's not like there wasn't... plenty of comic book creators there to talk to, for sure. It was amazing. You could have gone up to any creator at any time and never had to wait more than one person. But I, on that note, that's also kind of the big stinker as far, I don't know, if I had to have a note for Fan Expo Denver, they gotta figure out a different placement for Artist Valley. We get it. We want you to buy stuff before you get to the back. The whole grocery store placement concept. But here's... This is one... On the way to Artist Valley, before you get to the people that, you know, fucking... wrote Ghost Rider forever and drew... Just did fucking Spider-Man and just... legends, people. Legends. Along the way are a bunch of, you know, local artists and vendors and stuff selling their... unlicensed prints for the same price that you can get those same prints that were created by the creators of the actual fucking characters. So I don't know. By the way, I don't know how many times I heard somebody with an arm full of shit up at Artist Alley, and so they're being pitched a book, and they go, "Well, dude, I just spent all my money before I can get here." It's like, yeah, because you're in the Artist Alley's in the fucking back, and then you put all the I don't know, man. That's really the only thing. There were some. I mean, you got to talk to any creator as much as you wanted at any given time, and not had anybody. You know, not felt bad for making anybody wait. I'm not saying that, you know, Artist Valley was a complete dud as far as, you know, the turnout goes, you know, as far, you know, people at the tables. But it was unlike anything I had ever experienced. Normally, I would think that you would have to wait in line to get Jay Lee's autograph, right? I went up to him, talked to him like four or five times. You know, the only thing I had to wait for was for him to get done inking something before I, because he had his head down constantly. The man works, but his head down was, or his head was down constantly. But I don't know, it might have been different if he had a fucking line of people at his table, you know, might have been Alan Monk snaps pictures of a smiling face. But I don't know. I think the creators overall, I think they had a really good attitude considering, you know, where they were placed. And, now I don't know what to say, what else to say besides the fact that I really was blown away by the talent that was there. Despite the cancellations, it was good to be back in Artist Valley, man. It was. Peter J. Tomasi was there. It was awesome. And you could tell that the creators, they were, even though they might have been kind of lonely at times, tucked back in their little fucking corner, they were so warm. I never once felt slighted at all. It was a good group of fucking creators, people. It really was. Now, you know, on Friday, you know, for the most part, I was just kind of mapping stuff out. You know, it's kind of a shorter day. I wanted to see what, you know, the rounds I would be making on Saturday. And, you know, potentially Sunday, too. We'll see. So, Friday, for me, was kind of a quicker day. I got out of there, I got there at about, like I said, 3-ish. And I think I was out of there around 6:30, maybe. I tell you what, the party was just getting started. Like I said, it goes till 9. As I was walking out, I was almost regretting, you know, hadn't called my ride and said, come get me. You could tell the party was just getting started on Friday night, people. And the cosplay walking in the door was chef's kiss. Amazing. Best cosplay. I mean, I've been to some cons before, people. I've been to some big cons before. And the cosplay that showed up on this one showed up. You could tell these people have been chomping at the bit and working for months and months and months and over a year, if not years, to nail down their cosplay. And it was amazing. I walked out, you know, on Friday. I thought, you know, if this is what Friday cosplay is going to be, Saturday, it's going to be crazy. And guess what Saturday was, people? Holy fuck. I got in early on Saturday, showed up early, just walking the floor, a few VIPs, lots of VIPs, actually. A lot of people sprung for the VIP pass this year. But, Jesus Christ, Saturday, it was full-blown convention. I mean, it was packed. Everybody showed up. Everybody showed up at Fan Expo Denver on Saturday. I was blown away. Like I said, I had been to some shit. I've been to C2E2 and, I mean, I haven't been to New York or San Diego or anything like that, but I mean, I've experienced a good con or two. You could tell people were so excited. The attitude in there and the atmosphere, the energy, it was just, it sounds cliche to say, but it was electric. Saturday, I was jam-packed with stuff. The highlight for me personally, though, was seeing two of the most important people of my childhood and quite possibly my professional career. Q&A with Pinky and the Brain Panel, Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulsen. They came out. I got a little video of it. Make sure you could see it on Twitter and the Facebook groups and stuff. Just them coming out and once again electric. Seeing that it got me thinking right off the bat. You know, they came out with their little catchphrases and stuff, and I was like, fuck, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make it through this. I'm already starting to get choked up. I'm not gonna get into the reasons why, because it's not gonna mean nearly as much to you guys. But Oh shit, man. It was everything I but I tell you what, I did actually have to cut out of that panel early. It got to me. You know, and it was a lot of, you know, I got to the point where, you know, they made it half or three quarters way through the question line, and it was a lot of, you know, younger kids at this point just asking, you know, simple questions, if you will. But, you know, Maurice and Robert were going to make the best of it. They could turn the dumbest what's your favorite color question into a jaw-dropping, eye-watering story. I got a little emotional, I'm not gonna lie, and that was easily the non-comic related highlight for me of this entire weekend. It was, but on Saturday, that's where I really went in with the Artist Alley people, Artist Alley. You know how cool it is to shake the hand of Mark Russell and then have your picture taken with him by Howard Mackey. And then you go and you shake the hand of Howard Mackey as Mark Russell takes the picture. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's podcaster privileges. I don't know if, you know, this is fans being... I mean, this is just the most awesome people, you know, just staying true to their fans. I don't know what it was. But I went back and I talked... I mean, you can go back and talk to Howard and Mark at any given time. They're just sitting there. Fuck, they were just sitting there talking to each other most of the time, you know? It was... Yeah. It was something else. It really was, seeing Artist Alley. And like I said, it was a little sad. I was really sad, the fact that, you know, I could just kind of... They didn't have people lined up at their tables, you know, fucking rows and rows away, like the celebrities did. But, yeah, I don't know, man. It was... They were still just as warm, even nicer than I could hoped. Because I was worried about that, even initially walking up to Artist Alley. I was like, fuck... feel like I'm the only one here right now. And that wasn't the case. It's just what it felt like compared to most artist valleys that I go through. You know, it's fucking, you know, C2E2, if fucking Mark Russell has a table, I mean, you're going to be waiting in line for at least 10 or 15 minutes before you get those signatures. But yeah, that's, I don't know. It's like I said, I really think it all had to do with table placement. I don't think it was a lack of talent. I think it was just where Artist Valley was placed, where the big names were placed. And if anything, the biggest names were placed in the back of Artist Valley. You know, you had to kind of like build your way up, if you will. You got your little locals and your everything up front. And then, yeah, in the back you got Jay Lee and fuck Howard Maggie. And I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. But... if they reversed that, I really think that it would have been a whole different thing. I'm going to go ahead and take the silver lining, selfish approach here and say I was kind of glad it was this way. Because, like I said, I got to spend a lot of time really talking face-to-face with the people that I fucking love. And I said it. I love them. I love comic book creators. Said it. I didn't... Most of the panels that I was supposed to sit on this weekend, though, I mean, they were for comic book creators that didn't show up. The one that I did make, I missed Peter Tomasi's on Friday, just because, like I said, his was, I think I left at 6:30, and I think his panel was at 7, and I didn't want to be there till 8. So, yeah, I don't know, fuck it. I don't know if you guys have ever been downtown Denver at 8 o'clock. I'm not a fan. But that's only because I've got that sour taste in my mouth. That's all. So yeah, that's the only reason I cut out early all 3 days. The exception for Sunday. I'll tell you about Sunday in a minute. But But I did go to Mark Russell's Spotlight on Saturday, and I mean it was a good panel. It was. I gotta say, a lot of it, you know, kind of asked a lot of questions that I kind of asked him when I had him on my show. You know, I didn't. I wasn't sure what a creator spotlight was, to be honest. I've never been to a comic book creator panel before. But it turns out a spotlight is just someone like myself gets up there with a creator like Mark Russell and talk. It's a creator corner, is what it is. The only difference is the host of that has about 14 minutes of questions and relies on the rest of the room to kind of carry the event. And so with that being said, I kind of feel like that panel fell short, and it had nothing to do with Mark Russell. It was, and I don't want to, you know, say the host didn't do a good job. He asked great questions. So a lot of questions that I'd already kind of gone through. So I was kind of starting to lose interest a little bit because, like I said, I'd heard this stuff. But when it got to the time, you know, we opened up the floor, it was kind of fun to see people geek out. Granted, I wasn't, you know, I mean, their questions were very, what's your favorite color-ish, if you will. But it was really cool to see other fans, like, fucking be like, hey, man, you fucking changed my blah, 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 my perspective, and the way you did this and this and this, it had me this and this. And I'm like, ah, yes, give him all of this, people. Give him, this is what he needs to hear right now. You know, and I got a question in there, too. Just I threw out just a random curveball just because, you know, yeah. I said, what did I say? I said do a six-issue life story on a Hanna-Barbera character. And it was like Jetsons, and I was like, that's the correct answer. And everybody in the room was like, oh, yeah, Jetsons, yeah. So I had the room going for a second, but I stopped there. I just let everybody else have their fun, because in my head I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go up to this table a lot. Plus I got a whole nother, you know, long-form interview to do with them. I'm not going to blow my wad now in front of these people, you know? I don't want them to get bored with me. Like, you already asked me this once, I thought. You know? So I held my questions to myself. this is the thing that, once again, it just kind of reiterated my little gripe with the Artist Valley situation. We got all these people in here going, and I say all these people, kind of use it lightly. There wasn't nearly enough people in this room. This was the most social distance. I don't mean to laugh, but Jesus Christ. I want to say there was, I'm probably being generous here, 14 of us in this panel, including myself. Just not enough, not enough. And this is Mark Russell, people. This is Mark fucking Russell, you know? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I think there was another panel going on, like a anime panel or something going on at the same time. And that's the thing. These cons, they have to, if they want their comic book creators to return, they have to think about how they're, you know, scheduling their spotlights. Well, if you're going to spotlight Mark Russell, make sure that fucking William Shatner's not in the next room. And it wasn't William Shatner in the next room. I don't know what it is. But, you know, fucking stagger these things out, you know? You gotta, maybe Fan Expo should hire me as the panel scheduling coordinator. Just because, I don't know. It was, and because of that, honestly, that one panel I went to, it saddened me on the rest of any of the creator spotlights that I had scheduled. Now, granted, like, the rest of them were pretty much canceled anyway, but there were a couple more I was kind of excited I wanted to see, but then I was like, fuck, I don't know. Yes, gotta support the team. It would have been cool to show up and support the team. And I will say, even later on, after the panel, I was walking by Mark Russell's table again. He pointed me out to fucking Howard Mackey. He was one of the few people at my panel. was like, man, if you could point me out, then cool. But I mean, nah, dude, you shouldn't be able to spot everybody that was in your panel, you know? It's fucked up. But here's the real, I guess I kind of skipped my point on the whole thing. As the panel was breaking up, the host, he asked, he was like, how many of you guys have been by to get a book signed or say hi or shake Mark's hand yet? And the whole room was silent. And I was like looking around at him, and I'm not Mr. Participation usually, but I just raised my hand and kind of like looked back at everybody and discussed like why. And yeah, I don't know. I shamed everybody just with an eyebrow raise or furrow. I don't remember what happened with my face. It wasn't a pleasant look. And slight elbow raise. I mean, that was, but I don't know, man. It was just shame. Shame, shame, shame. If you go to a comic book convention and skip Artist Alley altogether, you don't have to fucking show up with your books window bagged and shit like that. There's, if you have to, pick one fucking table to spend some money at, if you must. If you must blow your load on the way and make sure you have your $100 tucked away from fucking 91-year-old William Shatner fucking fake spaceman's autograph, then sure. But goddamn it, put $5 or $10 away and fucking support a goddamn creator on the way as you pass them by the fucking comic book convention. You know, I don't know. That's just that was really this sad tear. Just all the lack of interaction with all of these amazing legends. They know who they are. I don't know. Maybe they don't need people like us to validate them, but I don't know. It was just kind of saddening to see as a person in my position in this industry. That's all. As far as the rest of Saturday goes, Jesus Christ. Lessons learned from Saturday. Friday, I will say, the food court, you can go and give whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, for the most part. It wasn't really packed or anything like that. You can get a table right up front whenever you wanted at any given point, at least between the hours that I was there. Saturday, once those doors opened, fuck that. You were hungry, and you sought out food. You were going to be hungry for at least another 30 minutes. There was not like there was a lack of vendors there. It's just that people were hungry. They wanted that pizza. It was crazy. So, lessons learned, bring granola bars and water. Because even the line for $7 bottles of water, I mean, I would have passed out from dehydration if I had to wait for that, you know? However, the line for $9 bottles or cans of aluminum bottles, I guess, of Coors, fucking, no, there's plenty of them. There was probably, for every, I mean, beer vendors outnumbered food vendors 5-1 easily. You can go, there was no waiting in line for beers at all. My only frustration with that is it was either card or cash for something. Nobody like took both. It didn't matter what the either one comic book creator took only cash, and then you go on to the next table and they're like, I only take PayPal. And then you go to get a beer and they're like, we only take card. And then you go to get pizza and they're like, we only take cash. Or however, I mean, it was just think little tiny frustrations. Like, the lessons learned, have both ready to go. Have plastic and paper ready to go at Fan Expo Denver. And the only time it ever got frustrating was Sunday. Let me tell you all about Sunday, people. Saturday, you know, I was ready to go. You know, everybody's excited. Artist Alley. I'm like, I'm gonna be by fucking Sunday. My microphone equipment. We're gonna get fucking interviews. And we're gonna do shit. And we're gonna hang out. And it's gonna be a blasty, 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 blast. Okay. So I show up Sunday. Show up early. Walking the floor. Sunday morning. Right after bed. A little scary. Because, I mean, it was cold. It was real cold. If you weren't cosplaying as a fucking skier, you were probably not cosplaying at this point. But it was hilarious. I walk in the door on Sunday, and like I said, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to do this big live walking in video, and as I'm getting ready to set up to go live, I'm like, where the fuck is everybody? How early am I? I'm like, is it just VIPs at this point? And I'm starting to say, I was like, no, those are Sunday badge. These aren't VIPs. Like, and then I realize it's cold. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to fucking go into the old food court area and pop squat table. I'm just going to kind of map some stuff, you know, maybe get some questions together that, you know, let me clear my head, get pumped up, but at the same time, focused. And that's what I did for, I don't know, maybe like 15 minutes. And then I hit that floor again, and it was like, the floodgates busted open. It was like Saturday all over again. It was glorious. I had never seen a Sunday con like this. It was fucking awesome. It must have warmed up. I hit the ground running. I know. First thing in my head, it's like, all right, there's one interview I have to get. I talked to a gentleman on Friday by the name of Ming Chen. You might know him as one of the comic book men. You know, Kevin Smith's Secret Stash show, you know, Amazon Prime, all that good stuff. Bumped into Ming, and immediately on Friday, I was like, dude, you want to record? And I was like, well, give me a second, man. I'll hit you here this weekend. You know, Sunday comes along, I'm like, all right, first things first, I have to get a hold of Ming. Because honestly, on Saturday, that was kind of that was one of my missions, but I think he took off for a few hours in the middle of the day to like eat or something. So I kind of missed him. Fucking hit him up Sunday, and he was remembered me. He was all ready to go. And that was my thing. I was like, I'm going to get Ming's done, get that out of my way, because this could be big, you know? Fucking shout out from one of the comic book men. This could be big. And then after that, I'll just fucking coast from then on out. I'll hit up all the Artist Alley, just going around blowing their minds with my words and stuff. That's what's going to happen. So I tracked down Ming. And I do my sound check before him, naturally, because that's what a professional does, right? My little wand microphone, tap, 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 all good to go. It's been working all day before him. Facebook Live, doing its thing, right? So I go live, and I'm probably live for, I don't know, 7 minutes with Ming, and I'm having a better conversation with him than I could have imagined. I'm not stumbling over my words at all. I felt more like a professional in this moment than I had than more than any other in my entire life. And like I said, people, I'd done some shit. You know, I've talked to some amazing people. I've accomplished some stuff in this podcast. I already feel legit, but I've never done anything to this level. Like interviewed somebody live like this. Now I've done a live interview before via Zoom, but not face to face. A fucking celebrity with 75,000 followers, you know, fucking works at Kevin Smith's comic book shop, you know, nothing like this. And I'm not gonna lie, on the Thursday night before the con started, I was doing a little practice interviewing with my daughter, just for funsies, making sure, you know, everything, all the old equipment was dusted off and working and stuff. And I noticed as I was holding the mic, I had terrible shakes. And, you know, with the mic that I have, it's got to be like right kind of there, otherwise the sound's not going to be good. Like, it has to be right in the perfect spot. So I started, you know, I'm nervous at this point. I'm like, fuck, man, what if I start shaking, you know, Ming, and this is all going to be right there? And yeah, so I got to like hold the phone out here and then look down at him and keep the phone steady while I'm staring at him, making eye contact with him, hoping that the screen doesn't drift off from, you know, off frame, because I can't look at the screen. But meanwhile, I also have to hold the microphone steady and all this other shit. And somehow it worked so fucking well. It couldn't have gone any better, people, except for one fucking thing. There was no sound throughout the feed. And I did not know until I hit and live broadcast. And in my head, it had gone so well, I was like, I'm not even going to ask him for a picture. I'm going to post this and tag him real quick. And yeah, it'll be, yeah, the work's going to do itself, you know? I'll grab a picture from, you know, a screenshot from the video, because it's me standing there with him the whole fucking time. Like, it was pretty badass. It'd be cool to get a screenshot, you know, from the thing. And then I turn around and I walk away, and I see a comment that says, no sound. And my heart drops. Somehow, some way. Now, I can't confirm one way or the other, but one of two things happened. My first suspicion was somebody wasn't minding their fucking distance. And, walked by and slightly, unplugged my, cord. The other thing being that Mark Zuckerberg, fucking hates me. He fucking hates me. Those are the only two things I could think about. So, at this point, what's going through my head is, I blew it. There's no way in hell I could ever go back. And even if I had the balls to ask him to do it again, recreate that. And it was magic. Like, I genuinely thought that he was fucking impressed. I really did, because we talked for a few minutes afterwards, you know, before I fucking noticed the goddamn fucking... And, yeah, so I walked away, and at that point, everything that, I knew in my head, and there's no way I could walk around getting fucking, all of these interviews from all of these people, like I wanted, and in the way that I wanted at this point in time, because, I was devastated, people. I was. You know, I was devastated, just really putting it lightly. I was angry. I was angry. And I thought it best that I just I cut my losses and head out. And now, with that being said, was it any opportunities lost as far as interviews that I didn't get that day? No. I have a whole stack of business cards here of people that I cannot wait to talk to in a more longer format. Really some amazing, amazing creators, people. It was just, at that point in time, what it came down to is I couldn't trust my audio equipment. It wasn't just, I'm taking my ball and going home. It was, I don't trust my audio equipment at this point. I don't know if there's something going on with Facebook I don't know about. It was working good one second. Now it's not. I did test my audio equipment afterwards, and it works just fine. The more I look into it, it really does feel like it was entirely a Facebook fuck up. But yeah, and even more so, the actual video itself after it was done was lost. So there was not even any going. There was not even any proof of it without sound. So yeah, Facebook, if you're listening right now, I don't have any nice words to say to you. The energy in this room, in this building, throughout the weekend was fan fucking tastic. Halloween weekend? Are you kidding me? I mean, a cosplay party Halloween weekend? Denver showed the fuck up. And this is at a small capacity. It was awesome, people. I mean, and some big names showed up celebrity-wise, too. Maybe not names that I'm particularly, I gravitate towards myself, personally. But I've been told these people are really famous. And the lines and the panels, and they spoke for themselves. I mean, the fucking chat was there, people. The chat showed up. The Pinky and the Brain. I mean, it was... If you saw the line to get into the panel for Demon Slayer, it's out the door. It was insane. Just because it wasn't my fandom doesn't mean that the fandom didn't fucking turn up. Fan Expo is here to stay in Denver. They are not going anywhere. There was no more pop culture con or... no, this is it. Get used to it, Denver. Fan Expo. The purple and the white. It's it's fucking good. They killed it. I'll cover it again and again and again every year. Lots of lessons learned as being a first-time media man. I've never covered anything like this to this capacity. But I think overall, it was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable. I couldn't imagine what this situation is next year. July 4th, by the way, 4th of July weekend. We likes to do it on holidays here in Colorado. And it's kind of always been like that. It was normally held on Pride weekend. I don't know if you call that a holiday, but yeah, Pride Fest weekend is usually when you know the Denver comic book convention, whatever it is held. So you know, I mean, we turn up here, man. We do. And the Halloween weekend here in Denver Fan Expo, it they showed the fuck up. The best cosplays I've ever seen. Ask me my favorite cosplay. There was just to kind of highlight a few of them. There was an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, and it's not like they were on 8-foot-tall stilts. I think their stilts were only like 4.5 inches. this person was a giant, and their costume was Jesus Christ. I mean, it was. I felt like I was on the set. Like it was surreal. It was absolutely amazing. There was a very, very realistic Iron Man suit there. I mean, it powered up. It made noises. All types of gadgets and stuff came off of it. It looked like the first Disney prototype. Like if they were to bring this to Robert Downey Jr. for the first time, be like, hey man, this is kind of, I don't know. It was amazing. And I'll be as bold as to say, and call me biased here as the world's biggest Iron Man fan, but that's the best cosplay I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's not like the dude, like, kind of had it down and, you know, he had his Adidas underneath. No. I mean, it was, even when the mask came up, the guy looked like Tony Stark. You know, it was just, I don't know. It was it was real, people. It felt, it was amazing. You know, I mean, every goddamn anime character you could ever think of showing up, every video game character, and because it was Halloween, you had your just classic, just scary monster costumes as well. It was fantastic. I don't know. It was surreal more than anything. You know, walking through there, there was a couple of times where I had to just kind of like stop and look around and go, "This is happening." Like it's back. It's back. You know? I didn't go anywhere. I was afraid. Got real scared last year, people. Got real scared. But, yeah. Come 4th of July next year. Doesn't matter where I'm living. I will be back for Fan Expo Denver. That's just all there is to it. And I'll be covering the son of a bitch, too. And, like I said, lessons learned. You know, there's things that I won't spend my time doing, you know, next time that I did this time that, you know, I mean, it's not like I wasted any time. It's just, you know, you got to learn to be a master of time management, you know, and oh yeah, my notes are taken, believe me. What else can I say about this? What else can I say? Oh, the kid zone. Denver kills it with the kid zone every year. And I mean that in the best way. This year they didn't have, make Patrick Warburton laugh. I don't know if there was a lot of celebrity stuff going on in the kid zone, but as far, you know, like the actual area of it in itself was so much larger than Pop Culture Con. I mean, there was it was so big. It was hard for me to get a shot of a group of, I mean, there were dozens and dozens and dozens, dare I say hundreds of kids in there. And the area was so big, it was hard for me to get a good cluster shot, or a good photograph of a cluster of them, without being so far away to get a magnitude of how many were in there, because, like I said, it was just spaced out. And being that, you know, social distancing and all of that stuff, the event was planned very, very well, with the exception of the placement of Artist Valley is all. That's all. But, I mean, there's anything you wanted to buy, whether it was licensed Disney Star Wars stuff being sold at the Monty Michael Moore, not even at the Monty Michael Moore booth. He had another booth because Monty Michael Moore does Disney's licensed Mandalorian paintings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was there. I mean, it's just, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no way I could possibly remember everything because it was so much. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say, people, other than if you don't miss next year. Don't miss next year. And if there's any testament as to why we shouldn't miss next year, I think it really kind of circles back to what I was talking about in the beginning here. A man that had sworn off comic book conventions based off of the lack of comic book appreciation there was convinced in a private meeting that based off of next year's possible attendees, Mile High Comics has changed their mind with Fan Expo. So, yeah, that's, oh boy, Denver's here, people. Denver's here. Let's get the fucking Sam Keese out here, huh? Let's get the Jim Lees out here again. You know, it's been a long time since we've had a name that big. I think the biggest name that's been in Colorado in the last few years is Greg Capullo, and he fucking bailed this year, so. Ugh. But more than anything, people, more than anything, and I gotta stress this, as a fan, your job at the Comic-Con, at any type of comic book convention, is at the very fucking least, if you don't have anything to sign, or if you've blown your goddamn financial wad for the weekend buying reprinted fucking posters from somebody that's never gonna make a comic book in their life, go up and just say thank you to these people. And you don't know what it means to them to say that. And then when you pull out your books and say, I've got everything you've ever done, and they gladly sign it all for free. That was another thing. There were only two creators the entire time that actually charged for signatures. One of them was Jay Lee, which was kind of, he was the one that I was convinced was going to be free, because I had numerous people say, Jay Lee usually doesn't charge for signatures. He was $10 a signature, which was twice as much as the only other person that charged, which was Howard Mackey. And even then, Howard Mackey, after I got done talking to him, he was like, oh, dude, keep it. I mean, I didn't. He got his money, but, I mean, it just goes to show. You show appreciation, they're not there for the fucking money, people. Like, they're there for you, you know? So, show up for them, just like they're showing up for you, and then go and get your goddamn fucking Cyborg autograph from the guy that played Cyborg and never wrote a comic before. And then go spend $100 to do it. And then go spend another $100 to take a picture with him. But meanwhile, you can go back to Artist Alley and hand your phone over to Howard Mackey and have him take a picture of you with Mark Russell, and then have Howard Mackey hand your phone over to Mark Russell and have and you know what? It didn't cost me a fucking thing. So there you go, people. You gotta support the team. More Patrick Warburton. Two Patrick Warburton references in one episode. Yeah, all right, there it is. Proud to cover this event. I've got, I mean, it was, yeah. Despite my little eruption within my head on Sunday on a, you know, just a personal, just opportunity missed. it was absolutely amazing. And as the day went on Sunday as well, like, even as I, you know, I call up my ride on Sunday, I was like, come and get me, just because I don't know if I have anything left, you know. I could take pictures of cosplayers, that's about it. I've covered just about everything else I'm capable of covering. And and I was really regretting it as I was walking out the door, you know, hanging up the phone, getting the okay, I'm on my way, and just watching these amazing cosplayers continue to just flood inside the doors. I was like, oh, fuck, it's gonna get so good. We're just getting started, people. Like I said, it's still early on the day of Halloween. Everybody's been waiting. Oh, yeah, I don't know, man. It was, I think Halloween made quite possibly the biggest Denver Sunday turnout ever. Just, yeah. I don't know, man. I would go to another convention and Denver on Halloween weekend again. I would. Initially, when they announced the date, kind of raised my eyebrow a little bit. I was like, oh, I don't know, it's cold here. But no, I think it was... It's only cold while you're waiting outside. And I think that's a part of the reason, you know, there was never any huge security lines, you know? I mean, they had it... This was organized so much better than any convention I'd ever been to in my entire life. From top to bottom, with the exception of Artist Valley placement. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it because I know Fan Expo is going to be listening. all right, people. It's been awesome. I suggest you book your plane tickets and your hotel rooms for 4th of July weekend now. Denver. Oh, have you ever seen a Rocky Mountain firework display? Oh, Lord. It gets pretty gnarly up here, dude. Come to Denver next year. Fan Expo. All right. I'll talk to you the next time there's things about comics to talk about. In the meantime, I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is Drew Zucker. You're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think The Apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because The Apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on The Apocalypse. It's like The Apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow The Apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is The Apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, The Apocalypse is sure to have something for you. I'd like to remind you about a book that I've spoken highly of in the past on this show before, and that's Unicorn Vampire Hunter. Caleb Palmquist has been on the show a couple of times now, and my little seven-year-old girl, she is a massive fan of Unicorn Vampire Hunter, and guess what? Well, I'm sure you could guess. It's back. It's back on Kickstarter, so if you go on over to unicornvampirehunter.com, and you're going to want to back this book, people, whether you have kids or not. It's just a fun story, and, you know, I normally would have Caleb on to talk about it, but you know, scheduling stuff happened, and I wasn't gonna not have this book be spouted about from the rooftops. So, metaphorically speaking, of course. So head on over to unicornvampirehunter.com and find out what it's all about, man. It's all in the title. It's a thing of beauty, and it's one of those books that I can't not recommend, and especially if you've got youngsters. Mine, she's addicted. So once again, head on over to unicornvampirehunter.com and get you some of this Caleb Palmquist goodness.